We appreciate you listening again this evening. Of course, as the announcer said, we try to delve into what the Bible actually says on different issues that believers disagree on. 2 John verse 9 says we have to abide in the teaching of Christ or we don't have God. We can't be saved. An important topic, I believe, in the world we have today especially, is this idea of whether evolution is true or what the Bible teaches, that God created the worlds, is true. And I'm not as knowledgeable in this area as I probably should be, so I've asked a friend of mine who's pretty much an expert on this subject, Tommy Thrasher, to join me. Were you with us, Tommy?
Yes, glad to be with you tonight, Pat.
So we're looking forward to having Tommy talk to us about this creation-evolution controversy. What does the Bible teach? Tell us what he knows. First of all, Thomas, what exactly is evolution? What does that term mean?
Well, and that is a critical matter to understand what the term actually means, because oftentimes the people who advocate evolution act like that all they're contending for is just change that we recognize in the world. But actually, as the term evolution is being used tonight, and usually, is talking about a naturalistic process. That is, a process that has occurred supposedly over billions of years, in which things have changed, not just minor changes that are built into every individual by God's system, but major changes. In fact, changing from one kind of thing into an entirely different kind of thing over a long period of time. So basically, evolution is what is sometimes called macroevolution, or significant and substantial change over a long period of time without any intervention whatsoever by God.
You know, the name of this program is Bible Crossfire, so we're interested to hear, Tommy, what does the Bible say, the Bible, about the creation of our universe?
Well, of course, there are many passages, and we couldn't begin to look at all of those different passages where the Bible mentions this subject, but I'll give just a brief sampling, and then perhaps others can be brought in the course of our study tonight. Of course, the very first verse of the Bible makes it pretty clear, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice it says God created. The Hebrew word that is used and translated created is the word bara, which indicates a creation from nothing. And people may have heard the term ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. Excuse me, hopefully that'll clear up. So, anyway, God created. That's what the Bible says, beginning in the very first verse. Later in that chapter, verse 21, it says, "So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image." Repeatedly throughout the Old and New Testaments, we have such statements where it says that God created. So what the Bible says, very plainly, is rather than things developing over a very long period of time, that God created over a very short period of time. In fact, over a period of 6 days, God created those things that were brought into existence.
Now, as the announcer mentioned a while ago, if you have a Bible question or comment, particularly if it's on this topic, while we have Tommy available to us, call us at 1-877-655-6755. Just give us a call if you'd like to ask Tommy a question about creation/evolution, or perhaps you are dying to ask a question about another Bible topic. That's fine too. 1-877-655-6755 is the number to call. Tommy, we hear a lot about quote, the Big Bang Theory. Is that just another way of describing how God created the universe?
Okay, good question. And the idea of the Big Bang Theory is really an effort to explain the existence of all things without God. In other words, it is another naturalistic theory that has been proposed. Actually, many scientists today do not hold to the Big Bang Theory. There are approaches that have been proposed that differ with the Big Bang Theory, and some believe that's just not the way things happen. But the basic idea of the Big Bang Theory is that at one time, perhaps 15 billion years ago, the exact dating will vary from person to person, but that very long period ago, there was a very, very small particle in which all the matter of the universe was compressed, so exceedingly dense. They do not bother to explain, by the way, and cannot explain, I think, where that particle came from. They just began with that particle, and then for some reason, also rather inexplicable, that particle exploded. And from that minute beginning, all of the matter, all of the objects, our solar system, including the sun and our planet, the earth, and all the other things, evolved over a long period of time. And I think that's totally unreasonable. For one thing, I'm guessing that everyone in our audience has seen at some times an explosion of some sort. Explosions don't organize things. How many of us have seen an explosion and as a result a building was erected or something was ordered? That just doesn't happen from an explosion. But the Big Bang Theory, the greatest explosion of all time, supposedly, is supposed to be the explanation where everything came from. So it's really absurd and ridiculous to propose that as a beginning, and it is not compatible with the teaching of the Bible about creation.
You mean, Tommy, they're asking us to believe that all the matter in the universe, all the stars and all the planets and every other thing came as a result of an explosion for no reason from one little speck of dust thereabouts?
Well, that's the basic idea, that matter, as the explosion occurred and projected particles moving more rapidly all the time out into space. Actually, we might think of it as making space as the expansion occurred. That accounts for everything. And there are just so many things wrong with that. And I want the listeners to understand that this idea, often stated, that, well, if you believe in creation, then you can't believe in science, or vice versa. Actually, there are many people who have abused the Bible, and you on earlier programs have referred to some of those ways that people do that. They may take the Bible or mention some passage, but abuse it, misunderstand it, misapply it. People do the same with things related to science. Oftentimes, they take things that are observed, and yet they draw improper conclusions. We may have opportunity to get into some of that as we go along further. But basically the idea is that everything we observe, the universe in which we live, this solar system, the earth on which we live, all of that is a product after billions of years of this Big Bang that allegedly occurred. And there are just so many problems, scientific problems, that are not explainable. Things so obvious, like, where did the moon come from? Well, the Bible makes it clear. But science cannot explain that. They propose different things that actually are not really mathematically possible or not observable in the realm of science. But they try to explain these things using naturalistic processes. And the Big Bang is just a guess that some people have made basically because they've rejected the idea that God created the universe.
Bill from Toronto, Canada, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
God created the earth and everything in 6 days. If this was a literal 6 days, why did he wait till the fourth day to create luminaries when on the first day we had day and night? So we didn't get the sun till the fourth day. So why didn't he just create the sun and the moon on the first day?
Okay, good question, Bill. We're going to let Tommy answer that. Tommy, did you get the question okay?
Yes, I did. Appreciate that question. And it is a common idea that people propose that we may touch on later with reference to the length of these days. But in the Bible, the account tells us on day one that God, of course, he was the creator, so it's not my position to question the way in which God did this. I don't have to believe it. I may disbelieve and reject what God said. But on the first day, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, true, we don't have all of the details that may be involved in God's doing that, but we're told that he spoke and there was light. And then on the various days of creation, different things are described as being created by God. Why did God do it that way? Well, that's way above my pay grade, so to speak, to decide that God should have done this some other way or in some other order. But yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
I tell you what, we're going to go on to Phil. Tommy, I'm going to follow up on that call in just a minute more with Bill, but let's go to Phil from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Phil, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thanks for taking my call. My question is this. My pastor tends to lean toward the gap theory. Can you explain a little bit about what the gap theory is? And based upon Scripture, how old do you believe that the earth is?
All right.
So Tommy, the thing I was going to follow up with Bill, and this Phil's question falls right in line, and that's something that I was planning to ask you later in the program. I think that Bill is questioning the fact, or he was, questioning the fact that the earth was created in 6 literal 24-hour days, and I'd like you to elaborate upon, if you don't mind, upon what in the Bible would show us that that's true, that it was 6 24-hour literal days.
Okay. First, in the account in Genesis, it says that things happened on day one, day two, and so on. And then at the end of Genesis 1, it says, and I'm reading the New King James Version here, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Moses, writing by inspiration many hundreds of years after the time of the beginning, used the term day, and this was a day that had a morning or an evening and a morning, and thus the typical 24-hour day that was recognized by the Jewish people. No indication this was a long period of time, as some suggest. Maybe these days were thousands or even millions or billions of years. There's no indication of that. And in fact, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, won't have time to look at all the context, but basically it's the giving of the law to Israel that included the Sabbath requirement. And it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day." So there it confirms the fact, just as we find in Genesis 1, that God made the heavens and the earth and these other things in 6 days. Just a little while later in Exodus 31, verse 17, referring again to the Sabbath day requirement for Israel back in that time period, he said, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested." So passages like that make it clear that the six-day time period, as described in these passages, was what God took to do the creating. I wonder why it is that people have trouble with that. It should not be a trouble understanding these terms, because they're pretty clear. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. That's stated multiple times. Are we questioning that God could have done that? Do we question the power of God? You know, if God can do the various miracles, and I believe he certainly could, that are recorded all through the Bible, then why would we question that God was able to accomplish the creation over a period of 6 days, just as he decided to do? And the effort that some make to suggest that it's a much longer period, whether it's the idea of the gap theory or some other proposal, such as the days being very long in some cases, there's just no indication in the Bible that that occurred, and no need for that if we truly recognize the power of God. And that he, if someone holds to these other theories, I'd like to know, do you believe God could not do it in the period of time that the Bible says that he did it? Is it really a lack of faith in God that leads people to conclude that there's a longer period than what the Bible teaches in these and other places?
Tommy, our second caller, Phil, referred to the gap theory, and I think what he was talking about is that in trying to accommodate an old earth, that there must have been some sort of gap between before the first creation day or something like that. There's different variations of that. I think you're more familiar with it than I am. But talk about the gap theory and for us, if you don't mind.
All right. I would suggest that the general idea is that in the first part of Genesis 1, you have a creation that occurred, and then there's a lapse of a very long period of time, a gap. And then after that, the world was made basically as described later in the book of Genesis. First point I'd make is there's no indication whatsoever in the inspired text that that happened. The Bible begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But notice in Matthew chapter 19, I could turn over there. Let me do that. Let me just turn there and look at that situation just a moment. Remember that some people came to Jesus and they asked him a question, particularly concerning the matter of divorce, though that's not the subject that we're talking about here. That's the context. And Jesus responded to their question in Matthew 19, verse 4, saying, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" It goes on to discuss there, but that's sufficient for the point I want to make on it. That the Bible said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it describes on the sixth day of creation that human beings were created by God. Now, according to either the gap theory or this day-age idea that some people have, that at least some of the days of creation were very long periods of time, millions, maybe billions of years, that is not in keeping with what our Lord said. Because the Lord said that God, at the beginning, made them male and female. So what we read about the sixth day of creation, the part involving our origin of human beings by God's creation, that occurred at the beginning, pointing clearly to this six-day time period that is described in Genesis 1. So Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and Jesus referred to the last of those creative days, the sixth day, and he said that was at the beginning. So all of that was at the beginning. There's no room for a long period, some gap, or some day-age idea if we believe the Bible. Again, inspired writers like Moses made it clear that it was in 6 days that the Lord made the heavens and the earth. I'm going to take what Moses said by inspiration and what our Lord said as he was here on the earth and made reference to that, and of course what all the Bible says in consistently maintaining that God created and he didn't need a long period of time to do it. And though people sometimes suggest that that's what happened, they do so based upon human reasoning, not on the basis of divine revelation.
So I see in Matthew 19, he said, in the beginning God made them male and female. And he's obviously referring to Adam and Eve because he quotes Genesis 2:24 in verse 5 in regarding the establishment of the first marriage. So Adam and Eve were made at the very beginning. That leaves no room for millions of years between the time the earth was created and Adam and Eve were created. Right, Thomas?
Right. And of course, there are a number of implications of this. It addresses the idea I saw in the newspaper and on the internet just a few days ago about some discovery of some bones in a cave in Africa, and they had this artistic representation putting on muscle and skin and all of that and hair on this set of bones to try to say this was some sort of human ancestor. There's no room for that. God didn't require long periods of time. He was able on the sixth day to speak and to form man from the dust of the ground and woman, just as the Bible describes. And I believe it is rather an insult to God for somebody to come along these thousands of years later and to say, well, I know more about that than what the Bible writers did. I believe they accurately described, because God, who was there, revealed what happened. None of these people who speculate today about evolutionary ideas that man came from some ape-like creature, and even before that, other kinds of creatures over a long, long period of time, they weren't there. They didn't observe that. They're drawing conclusions based upon their human reasoning. And basically, in most cases, because they reject the idea that God exists and that God created by his great power there in the beginning.
Tiffany from Las Vegas, go ahead with your question, please.
Hi, I wanted to know about the dinosaurs and how everyone is saying that that is something, is why that we should not speak about the faith and why that's not important, because that is something that is not mentioned in the Bible.
Tiffany, that's a very good question. We appreciate your call. Tommy, what about the dinosaurs? We're going to have to go on a break in about 3 minutes.
Okay.
But we can always finish after we come back from the break. Go ahead. What about the dinosaurs?
Hey, let me address it briefly in that time that we have. The Bible does not use the term dinosaur in standard translations, for the simple reason that term was not coined until something around 1830 or that time frame. So it's not surprising that we don't find the word, the English word dinosaur, in the translations. But when we study the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1, it does tell us that all the creatures, that would include horse kinds and cow kinds and dinosaur kinds, whatever creatures existed then, that God created them. Look at verse 24, for example, of Genesis 1. Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. I hear some music. Maybe I need...
Yeah, that means we're running. We're about to quit and go for a break. We encourage you to pick us up in 3 more minutes. We'll be back with more of Bible Crossfire and Tommy Thrasher. Appreciate you joining us for Bible Crossfire. Again, if you have a Bible question or a comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. We're joined tonight by Tommy Thrasher, who's somewhat of an expert on this question of the creation evolution controversy, and what he's teaching us from the Bible is that there is no room for evolution in the classical sense of the word, or the way it's normally used, that the Bible was created by God, that the earth and everything therein was created by God in 6 24-hour days, just like the Bible says. Now, we had an interesting call right toward the end of our first segment about dinosaurs. Tommy, did you want to say any more about the dinosaur question? I think it's a very interesting topic.
Let's finish up some remarks briefly. Of course, we could spend all of our time that we have tonight in talking about matters related to that, but let me indicate, as I was saying, from Genesis chapter 1, the account of creation, that we're not given a detailed list of all the different beasts or birds or things like that. We have general categories that are mentioned, and it is emphasized that God created those various creatures. And I believe that then the so-called dinosaurs would have been included in God's creation. Now, I'm not absolutely sure why a lot of people seem to have a problem with that. Maybe it's because, as I said, the word dinosaur, that English word, is not found in the common translations. But clearly, those beings, those creatures, were created by God along with everything else there at the beginning. Sometimes people refer to passages in the book of Job that mention, and the translations vary the way it's rendered, but the behemoth and the leviathan as possibly dinosaur-like creatures. From a technical standpoint, dinosaurs are land creatures, and the sea creatures are not maybe technically dinosaurs, but that would be a technical distinction that doesn't matter to most people. But there are different ideas about that, but that's a possibility, I think, when looking in detail at the text of those terms in Job, that they were known, they existed during that time period that people lived. Eventually, they apparently have become extinct, and there are different theories about that. But there are lots of animals that have ceased to live on this earth, I imagine, for a variety of reasons. But I believe God created those creatures called dinosaurs. And quickly, let me add that sometimes associated with that, people question that because there wouldn't have been enough room on the ark if there had been dinosaurs to take such large creatures on board the ark. Well, that's based on several misconceptions. For one thing, the average-sized dinosaur was not the huge creature that is often pictured as a dinosaur. There were many that were relatively small. The average size was roughly the size of a sheep. And those that were carried on the ark could have been taken in the infant stage. And thus, this supposed problem about carrying dinosaurs on the ark seems to me is not a real problem at all if people accept God's arrangement for the preservation of life in the ark. He was able, he knew what was needed. He gave instructions to Noah about the size of the ark and everything needed, and Noah followed those instructions, and so life was preserved on board the ark in the manner that God wanted it to be done.
Tommy, it seems like a lot of people who claim to be Christians are trying to ride the fence, and they say they believe the Bible, then they also say they believe in evolution. Is it possible to believe the Bible and also believe in evolution? Why can't a person believe both?
Yeah, I think actually those who are oftentimes designated theistic evolutionists, that in a way they make for themselves more problems than the typical naturalistic, atheistic evolutionist has. Now, he's got, or she has, plenty of problems by rejecting what God says and trying to explain everything naturally. There are all kinds of problems with that. But the one who would claim to believe the Bible has the additional problem of reconciling what the Bible says with what so-called evolutionists, particularly the atheistic kind, have to say. In other words, it doesn't solve the problem of the existence of things to me, it complicates it. And I could explore this in great detail, but I know we have other things that we probably want to deal with. But the idea of a theistic evolution, for example, is in conflict with the order of creation as given in the book of Genesis. According to evolution, birds came from reptiles. But the order of creation in Genesis 1 reverses that. And so it just can't be what evolutionists say and hold on to what the Bible actually says. Pat, I know that you were present some years ago when I had a debate with a man who claimed to believe the Bible and believe in evolution. And in the course of it, we had some questions and answers, and I asked him, after he had shown a copy of his Bible and emphasized that he believed the Bible, but he believed in evolution, he believed in both, I asked him, did God create anything? And his answer was, well, we have no way to know. And I pointed him to the first verse of his Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What he had done is common among those who try to hold on to some parts of the Bible and also believe in evolution. They end up sacrificing what God says. And that's a very sad thing to me, that people look at so-called science and they give it more weight. They accept it with greater authority than what the inspired Scriptures say. We cannot accept both. The explanation of creation permeates the Bible from beginning to end. But evolution rules out, by its nature, any intervention of God, if indeed they would even believe that God exists.
Tommy brings up the fact that he does debates, and so we want to, and we've done this before, invite someone who is capable that on this subject, and let the audience know that Tommy would be willing to debate this subject. He would be glad to debate a professor on evolution, or perhaps even debate another believer on theistic evolution. So if possibly you or your preacher might be interested in such a public debate, and Tommy, I know, would do it in a friendly way. We're not trying to be mean with anybody, but we're just trying to have both sides presented in a fair way. I want you to contact me at BibleCrossfire@email.com if you're interested in trying to arrange such a debate on the creation evolution topic, any facet of it, with Tommy. I know he'd be glad to do it. Contact me at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Tommy, you know, are there some examples of evolutionary ideas that are actually in conflict with science? You know, that may be surprising to some of our listeners that that possibility exists. Give us a few examples of that.
All right. And this is one of the major complaints I would have, though I've been in education for 43 years, teaching primarily mathematics, but I have encountered so often the presentations in biology textbooks and other science texts that don't even include any reference to alternative explanations of things. They toe the line to the evolutionary approach, and they treat it as if it is a fact, that that's what we've got to believe if we believe in science. But the truth is that when we believe in creation, as we've referred to in the Bible, science, true science, actually supports the creation perspective and denies the evolutionary idea. For example, some may be familiar with the term spontaneous generation. Several centuries ago, it was thought by many that maybe dirty rags that were thrown into a corner of a room would produce rats, or that rotting meat produced flies or things of that kind. And they associated things that they saw with this idea of spontaneous generation, that these creatures just spring to life from dead matter. But that's not true, and there were experiments by recognized scientists. I guess Pasteur is probably the most famous, but before his time, Spallanzani and Reddy, and there have been others, I'm sure. But they disproved by their experiments this idea of spontaneous generation, and often the science books will mention their experiments. And yet, those books will often turn right around and suggest that the way life came into existence was sometime in the deep past, billions of years ago, something non-living became living. There was a transition from non-living to living. Well, there's no proof of that. In fact, that violates all the observed instances throughout human history. Living things come only from other living things. That's science. So you may have heard the term biogenesis. Life comes only from life. That is consistently and universally established by scientific observations. And yet, science comes along with a theory of evolution that violates those theories, that require that at some point in the past that something non-living became living. That violates what science actually says. There are many other examples, but don't be deceived into thinking that, well, I believe in evolution, so I believe in science, and so I can't believe the Bible. Actually, true science is consistent with what the Bible says in regard to creation, as described, for example, in Genesis 1.
If you want to ask Tommy a question, call us at 1-877-655-6755. Tommy, you mentioned about the bones that they found recently, and there was pictures on the internet of how they suppose that precursor to humans, as they term it, would look. Is there any evidence that human beings developed over a long period of time from lower forms of life, which is the claim of such claims that they made on the internet recently?
Yeah, actually, there is no scientific evidence to that effect. There's a lot of speculation. And again, it gets back to me to this idea, well, if I'm going to reject the Bible, I'm not going to believe that. I've got to find some other explanation. And essentially, the only explanation, though there are variations in details, is evolution over a long period of time. I happen to have a quote here. I think I'd like to read that, take just a moment to do that. But this is by a well-known evolutionist, Richard Lewontin, in a publication that he did several years ago, back in 97, I believe, called Billions and Billions of Demons, that was in the New York Review. It says, "We take the side of science in spite of the patent absurdity of some of its constructs, in spite of its failure to fulfill many of its extravagant promises of health and life, in spite of the tolerance of the scientific community for unsubstantiated just-so stories, because we have a prior commitment, a commitment to materialism. It is not that the methods and institutions of science somehow compel us to accept a material explanation of the phenomenal world, but on the contrary, that we are forced by our a priori adherence to material causes to create an apparatus of investigation and a set of concepts that produce material explanations, no matter how counterintuitive, no matter how mystifying to the uninitiated. Moreover, that materialism is an absolute." Now, notice the last part. "For we cannot allow a divine foot in the door." And that's what a leading evolutionist wrote just a few years ago. Why do so many accept the evolutionary ideas? It's basically because they reject God. And if you leave God out, then you don't have much alternative than some form of evolution. And it is sad that that condition exists, because people, in effect, are rejecting God and that's why they accept ideas such as the materialistic, naturalistic view of evolution.
Tommy, you've already mentioned this earlier, but what does the Bible say about the origin of human beings, and why is this point this so important in your estimation?
Okay. No, time is limited, so let me just go to Genesis 1:27. The account of creation says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." God created man. Notice, by the way, as you read the account, man was fully developed. He was in the image of God. He was able to speak, communicate. There, the evolutionary concepts has, at some point way in the past, some creature learned to grunt, and along the way that developed until finally we have human language. And it was a process over a long period of time. People can't believe that and believe the Bible. The very first man and woman were able to speak. They were able to communicate. And those in the audience may remember the serpent's appearance to Eve, the devil, in the form of a serpent. And she knew what God had said, but she chose to be deceived by the devil and to disobey God. So human beings were made human by God on the sixth day of creation. And the reason, above other things, that that's so important is that I have found that people who are not willing to accept, for example, the first verse of the Bible, aren't willing to accept other parts of the Bible. And there will be so many who have rejected God's conditions of salvation as a consequence of their attitude of disbelieving what God said. If God didn't tell the truth about creation, why should we believe what he says about our being saved, about Jesus dying for our sins and shedding his blood and all that? If we're going to reject creation, then consistently we may as well reject all of it. That's why, to me, this is such an important thing. And I believe the devil has been highly successful in deceiving people into rejecting God and God's Word by convincing them that things exist through a long period of naturalistic, materialistic processes that are explainable according to them without God's involvement.
Louisa from Stanford, North Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Louisa, you might want to turn your radio down. There's a delay, and that'll confuse you. Louisa, are you still there? Tommy, we have about 5 or 6 minutes left. What do you have else to say? You have any closing comments?
Well, there's so many aspects of this that could be discussed, but among some that I have acquaintance with in the area where I live, there have been those, even Bible believers, who have claimed the basic idea of an old earth creationism. That, and it goes back to this idea, not in six literal 24-hour days, but over a long period of time. And these, what are sometimes called old earth creationists, accept basically the idea that God directed the process of evolution, and that's how he created, and he did it over millions or billions of years. Now, in the first place, you don't get that from the Bible, as I've already shown. The text of Genesis 1 seems to me to indicate an immediacy that was involved in creation. Let me give an example from Genesis 1:3. "Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." How long did it take? I don't get the impression that, well, there were maybe millions or billions of years in there between the time that God said, "Let there be light," and the time that light appeared. There is, to me, the sense of immediacy. We often find things in the Bible that suggest that something happened immediately. Well, that's the way it appears to me from the language of Scripture. In Genesis 1, verse 9, God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. You know, if God, as Creator, as all-powerful, wants something to happen, then He can speak, just as recorded here. And what He wants to happen, happens. That's God's power. And so I believe that is consistent with an understanding of the six-day creation as described in Genesis 1 and is referred to, as we've shown, many times in the Bible. God didn't need millions or billions of years. People need that sometimes because they're not willing to accept what God said about it. And so they come up with some other theory where they can explain to their satisfaction how the things that are here today came into existence, and they want to do it without God's involvement. And that's the sad part of that, that the devil has convinced people that evolution is a fact. Evolution is true science. Evolution is the way these things happened. And people, as a result, turn against God. Again, some people try to hold on to God, but they can't do that successfully because they have to give up some things the Bible says in order to accept some things that evolutionary proponents say. That is sad indeed. There will be many people, I'm afraid, lost in the day of judgment because the devil has deceived them along this line, and they've turned against God and turned under the wisdom of men.
Steve from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, a very studied man, Hank Hanegraaff, who's got his own show on XM here, claims that God has given us two books, the book of the Bible and the book of nature. And he claims that the book of nature does not or can explain for an old earth existence without explaining for, you know, God's existence and the creationist belief that the earth is 6,000 to 10,000 years old. And he mocks and scoffs those who would think that. Can you explain to me why such a man held in high esteem would push this on people? Thanks.
Thank you for your call, Steve. Of course, Tommy, the book of nature, the Bible answer man, he's talking about science, and he's thinking that science and the Bible are in conflict. Tommy, you want to deal with that question?
Well, just very quickly here, in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul made reference to the creation of God, and that's how I would basically interpret the idea of natural revelation of God, that is, through His creation, God shows His existence. Romans, rather, 1 verse 20, "For since the creation of the world," notice it espouses creation, just as the Bible consistently does. But it says, "His invisible attributes are clearly seen." The creation of God, nature, points to God and how things were brought into existence.
We're going to have to cut off the program right now. If you want to contact me for Bible study, for Bible conversation, it's BibleCrossfire@email.com. Appreciate you listening tonight. Please listen again next week.